Nearly a year after Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans is experiencing a serious crime wave, and it's threatening to keep businesses, residents, and tourists from returning, exactly what city officials did not want to happen. Just a few months ago, the city was enjoying its lowest crime rate in decades, but now shootings, theft, and murder are on the rise, and the New Orleans Police Department is struggling to keep up. NPR's Laura Sullivan reports.
When it comes to crime in New Orleans these days, Pam DeShiel has one word to describe it.
It's horrifying. It's really horrifying.
DeShiel is one of the people who left New Orleans after the storm and has now returned to the Ninth Ward to rebuild her home. She and some of her neighbors were taking a break from a weekly community meeting that takes place in a gutted house on the block.
Looting is just rampant and out of control.
We have all been looted. I've had so many things stolen.
Marna David is a local artist trying to rehabilitate her home in the neighborhood of Holy Cross.
Artwork, irreplaceable things, you know.
This is after you came back and started renovating.
Oh, all of our buildings, we've had shutters, we've had wrought iron work stolen. Right out from under us, people have had copper pipes.
Had her copper pipes taken.
Yes.
And 2 weeks before it was her shutters.
Yeah. So.
Crime has returned to New Orleans with a vengeance. Even though the city has lost half its population, there were just as many murders here last month as there were last July, before the storm. It's gotten so bad the National Guard has taken up night patrols in neighborhoods like this one. But so far, it hasn't helped.
4132 to 4133.
Winston Harvin and his partner Eddie Colmenero are New Orleans homicide detectives. They spend most of their time in their car, driving from one crime scene to another.
With the murder rate as it is compared to the population, we obviously have more criminals than hardworking individuals in the city.
As they drive the often desolate streets of some of the most devastated areas of New Orleans, Detective Harvin says they're facing a new kind of criminal.
We're not talking about 30-year-old men. We're talking about teenagers and young 20-year-old males who are involved in this conflict. And killing someone to them is no greater than us stepping on a cockroach in our house. They don't fear us. They don't fear the justice system. It's not right from a society standpoint.
Much of the problem stems from a sudden flood of drug crime as dealers battle it out for territory vacated by the storm. 6 months after Katrina, this city had its lowest crime rate in decades. A year after the storm, murders, assaults, and shootings have all returned. Detectives Harvin and Colmenero arrive at a house in the Algiers neighborhood. A woman is crying. Her 16-year-old daughter has been shot in the chest by her 17-year-old son.
He had a gun in the house and he shot Kiara.
As they make their way past the police tape, Sergeant Archie Kaufman fills them in. The brother has admitted to shooting his sister, and the police have found the weapon.
Under the mattress, yeah, it's a 40 Glock.
40 Glock?
Yeah. She's hitting the chest. They're working on her at Meadowcrest, but...
They got up in surgery.
According to Harold and Mike, she was still in the trauma room or whatever they have for trauma room.
In the past 48 hours, Harvin says the homicide units already had to manage a dead body found floating in the river, a fatal stabbing, a double murder-suicide the night before, and what appeared to be human bones someone found in their yard.
Your busy day is determined by the death of another individual.
Let's hope this one lives. I mean, brother and sister, that's crazy.
Well, it is for us.
Yeah.
My understanding is that this may not have been the first time he's done it to her.
It's unbelievable.
Just past the flashing lights of the patrol cars, more than two dozen people have gathered behind the police tape. Some are pushing strollers. A group of little boys are chasing each other. Detective Harvin says this is not unusual.
When you have a scene where it is a murder, you're going to have tens, if not hundreds, of people outside. And the minute the body leaves, they leave.
Yeah.
They just disappear.
With more violence and criminals on the street, people have been reluctant to step forward and help. Police say that's always been a problem here, but now it seems worse. For one thing, residents fear retribution, but police say there also seems to be more animosity toward officers since the storm. That makes investigating crimes like this one even harder. And the department as a whole is already at a disadvantage. It's understaffed with borrowed patrol cars, borrowed weapons, and police divisions scattered throughout the city in trailers.
There is no bathroom. There is no running water.
Joe Delery and a dozen other crime scene investigators have been packed into this one-room trailer since the storm.
We've got one computer that's up that we can actually do our reports on, so we take turns. Play musical chairs on the computer. Or if you like me, you'll go over to Kinko's and hang out at Kinko's doing sketches.
Delery's sketches are intricate renditions of crime scenes that prosecutors depend on to make their cases.
You're sitting down drawing these things at Kinko's?
Yeah.
Is there any hope in sight that this is a temporary thing, or is this just...
Hopefully this is temporary. Because for a metropolitan city of this size, with the crime rate that we have, it would be incredibly asinine not to have a major crime lab.
What we called this afternoon, where the body last night was found on the doorsteps?
Yes. Yes, yes.
In another trailer, this one tucked behind the tennis courts in the city's largest park, Sergeant Archie Kaufman dispatches his detectives to handle the city's worst crimes. And what he sees these days disturbs him.
We're actually seeing significantly more violent homicides. We're seeing a lot of victims with multiple gunshots as opposed to one gunshot and then the perpetrator runs off. It's been significantly more volatile.
And there's something else.
In fact, we're finding a lot of young kids came back from out of town without their parents.
Sergeant Kaufman says teens are living couch to couch in friends' houses. And without parental supervision, they're getting sucked into the city's new drug wars as dealers fight it out for the now open territory. He says the criminals who fled to nearby states after the storm have a good reason to come back now. There's not much the justice system in New Orleans can do to prosecute offenders.
The Texas criminal justice system is pretty tough. And they're finding that if they do something and get caught there, they're doing some time and maybe a good bit of time, as opposed to a little bit of time or no time at all in New Orleans right now.
New Orleans is in a very precarious situation right now.
Rafael Goyeneche is president of the city's Metropolitan Crime Commission. He says residents, businesses, and tourists won't come back if the city can't get the crime problem under control. And without them, there's no tax base to pay for policing and prosecuting. Only a couple of criminal courts are operating right now, and the district attorney's office is short almost 25 prosecutors.
The most frustrating aspect of this is the fact that there's the revolving door in the criminal justice system. Cases just have not been able to be processed through the system.
On top of all of that, the police have a manpower shortage. They lost 300 officers immediately after the storm, and every week, more keep leaving. There's no complete tally, but almost 25 officers left the force just last month, and the department hasn't hired any new officers since last fall. That means in neighborhoods like New Orleans' 9th Ward, residents will have to fend for themselves.
Yesterday, JW and I went out and bought a handgun.
Marna David lingered on the porch outside the 9th Ward community meeting. She says she and her husband, JW, believe the police are doing the best they can with what they've got. But she says they got the gun because they no longer believe they can count on them.
I have never, ever, I will be 60 in a minute, and I have never even held one. And we got it not just for personal protection. We got it because of slow police response. If we call in something, it's not so much that something bad will happen, but how long it will take the police to, if they'll come at all, you know, I don't feel like they will be out here much.
Marna David, like a lot of residents, says it's like living on a frontier. City and police officials are hoping law-abiding residents will stake their claim before the criminals do. Laura Sullivan, NPR News.